Welcome back to the Princeton Tiger Performance Podcast. My name is Jason Gallucci. I'm the Director of Performance here at Princeton. I'm with Dr. Mike Gross. Mike, why don't we get right into it? You want to run down the headlines for today?
Sure do. Here are today's topics. It's good to be back with you, Jason. So the first topic we're going to talk about is dealing with disappointment. The men's and women's NCAA basketball tournaments just concluded. The NBA and the NHL are heading into their playoffs, and obviously only one team can be crowned champion. So there's a lot of players and teams and coaches dealing with disappointment around this time of year. So we're going to talk about that. The next topic is high-level athletes and mental health. Many athletes recently have come out and talked about their mental health concerns. And we're going to talk about the impact that this is having upon student athletes. And then we're going to have for you our tips of the week to conclude. So we're going to jump right into it here with our first headline dealing with disappointment. Like I said at the top, we are just finishing up the NCAA men's and women's tournaments. Those games have been really exciting. The finishes were really exciting in those games. A lot of clutch, magical performances, but also then that leads to a lot of disappointment. The women's game, second, I think like 1.9 left on the clock, free throw, a star for Notre Dame against Baylor, and she didn't make the free throw. Virginia and Texas Tech, the game went into overtime, and of course a lot of disappointment associated with that. So I kind of want to hand it off to Jason and get your thoughts on disappointment, responding to disappointment, how it differs between disappointment and failure, and just some of your thoughts on how you have handled disappointment in the past.
Absolutely. And, you know, when you're an athlete, and I think it's actually one of the great things about sports is that you're constantly put in a situation where you do have to perform. I think disappointment and coming up a little bit short is part of the understanding, right? You learn through sport from a very young age that, you know, the old cliche, you get knocked down, you're going to have to get back up. And that's one of the things that I really feel like helps us grow. And what we really talk about quite a bit at Princeton, and one of the things that is extremely important to us, is having that growth mindset and really refocusing our disappointments or even our failures to opportunities and opportunities that can make us better and make us grow and put ourselves in the position to come out and be successful the next time. Understanding that really it is a process and it's a journey, and that, you know, at the end of the day, unless you hang your sneakers up or put the cleats away and walk away from it and kind of get into that retirement mode or decide that you don't want to go back out and try again, that's really only one failure truly sets in. Mm-hmm. And disappointment is what you expect. I think when you're a high level competitor, you expect disappointment when things don't go your way. From a perspective of failure is interesting. You hear quite a bit about it these days, and you know, people, they fear failure. Failure was always a motivator for us. And I recall back when I was at Penn State playing, and we had a season, we were 12-0. We beat Oregon in the Rose Bowl. We're at the top of the mountain of college football, and you couldn't feel much better about yourself. And our first team meeting, Joe stands up in front of us, and the one thing I remember him
big
talking
about.
Big
name drop right there, Jason. It's a big name drop.
Yeah. Well, it was a big name, you know. It was intimidating for sure for such a little guy with a squeaky voice. he could scare you. But he talked about running scared. That was his message to us as a team. And now you got 125 college football players in the room. There's testosterone flowing all over the place. The concept of running scared after going 12-0 was not something that had crossed any of our minds. But the message was very clear, and it's something that I think about even to this day, is that you're never truly at the top of your game. You're never truly at the top of the mountain. And when you take the foot off the gas pedal for a little bit, somebody's going to catch you. And that was his message, that there was going to be a target on our back. Every team we played, they were preparing right now for the next season. It was, we're going to find a way to beat Penn State. We're going to find a way to beat Penn State. And that's what they thought about every time they hit the weight room, every time they hit the track, every time they had any opportunity to get better. And so I kind of bring that back to disappointment and failure. And really what those instances are is their opportunity. Every time you train, every time you compete, it's opportunity to get better and to grow as an athlete and as a team. And that was his message to us. And it was really not what we expected to hear. I think we all walked in there and we were expecting a big pat on the back. Hey, you guys did great. But it was different. It was, hey, okay, great. But now we've got to get back to work, and we've got to work harder than we've ever done before.
Yeah, I mean, just to piggyback right off of that, this idea of expecting disappointment and being able to learn from it. Last year, the University of Virginia lost to a number 16 seed, the only team ever to do that in the history of the NCAA tournament. And what happens this year? They win the tournament. And the coach of Virginia, Tony Bennett, never ran away from talking about the fact that they lost that game. A coach he said after, I'm sorry, a quote that he said after winning the national championship this year, he said, "That loss was part of our story. I knew if we faced the disappointment and used the emotions right, it could produce something very valuable." So that's exactly it. When you're able to open up to the emotions associated with disappointment and respond to them effectively, you could use them to produce something very valuable. So on the psychological side of things, if we look at the way to define disappointment, it can be looked at as a painful gap between your expectations and the reality. And our minds are hardwired to drift off into the future and think about various dreams, desires, hopes, and expectations that we may have. We can even envision, we can visualize those things. Like, I have a baby on the way coming in July.
And congratulations.
Thank you. And I could have the imagery of holding that baby healthy in my hands. I can hold that reality. I could see that visualization. So players obviously can see themselves cutting down the net. And when that expectation doesn't meet with reality, when it doesn't come to fruition, this produces a lot of painful emotions. And again, the point is, even in the face of this, they could be extremely useful in how you respond to them. And I think we learned that with the Virginia team. It's also a great story while we're talking about the basketball tournament from Duke. Duke in 1990 lost to UNLV by 30 points in the national championship game. And Coach K kept all the players on the floor. I think this is Bobby Hurley, Christian Laettner, I think maybe Grant Hill was on that team. And the reason that he kept them on the floor is that he wanted them to fully experience the disappointment. He didn't want them to run from it. He wanted them to know what it was like. And then the next year, they defeated an undefeated UNLV team in the national championship game. Right. So, again, another example how if you're able to confront and face disappointment, that it could serve to be beneficial. So when I'm working with athletes, one of the first things we're doing is looking at ways that they may be avoiding talking about the disappointment. The recommendation is not to take the "I don't want to talk about it" approach, to be able to talk about it. It's very important to allow yourself to experience the emotions of disappointment. The second thing is being able to take perspective on what happened. Often we get caught up in what can be called thinking errors, which could be something like discounting the positive. And although when you reflect on the past event that was disappointing, there are these painful emotions that come up. If you become fixated only on a negative interpretation of the event, it could be tough to start to move forward. And then it might have the potential to turn into a failure. But when you start to look at, there's okay, this aspect of it wasn't positive, but what were the other things that happened that were positive? So being able to look at it in a flexible way could be really beneficial.
Yeah, it's really powerful. And again, look at Virginia throughout the season. There were bumps in the roads. Look at Virginia in the tournament. There were bumps in the roads. And they managed to persevere. We talk about resilience again all the time. And I think that team really embodied it. And in the end, they were rewarded.
Yeah, I mean, here's another quote for you. I like throwing out these Virginia quotes. Kyle Guy, who's one of the stars on the team, he said, he's talking about the loss. He said, "That game changed me for the better. Really, that made me closer to family and friends and helped me open up to everyone. If we can face adversity, we can learn from it and become better people."
Yeah, it's amazing, right? That's growth right there. Growth and opportunity in the face of what was probably one of the most difficult and challenging times as an athlete in that young man's life. That's truly amazing.
Yep. And, you know, just to kind of put a pin in this, like you said, we have to expect disappointment. We cannot, our minds, we can't shut off our minds. We can't not have expectations.
Right.
We can't not have dreams. We can't not fantasize. All these things I think are good.
Sure.
Right? I don't really agree with people who say that you need to reduce your expectations or change your expectations. I think it's okay to dream big, right?
Absolutely.
What you do need to be able to do is find ways to be able to handle disappointment, because it's just a part of life that's going to occur.
Yeah. Well, that's great advice. So why don't we let's move on now. And you talked about high level athletes, especially pro athletes, and you see it in the news now more and more. You know, back when I was playing, we had people that talked to us about mental health, but we didn't hear about it. It wasn't spoken about it as much as it is today. And clearly social media probably has quite a bit to do with that. In fact, DeMar DeRozan, right, NBA player, used social media as a platform to quote-unquote say, this depression get the best of me after a performance. I believe it was last season, right? And clearly we know the story of quite a few other professional athletes. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, right, the epitome of big and strong, has battling his own depression throughout the years. And Michael Phelps in swimming, probably one of the biggest names to first kind of come out and talk about mental health and what he was dealing with, as well as Allison Schmidt in the swimming world. And Mike, we were having a conversation, and something about Michael Phelps just crossed your desk just yesterday, right? And talk a little bit about, you know, where we are today and why you think this might be coming more and more prevalent.
Yeah, I mean, where we are today is, it feels to me, light years from where we were 10 years ago. When I first started out, the idea that you could have even a full-time position working with athletes or student athletes, people would kind of laugh at me at that idea when I started my doctorate program literally 10 years ago. You're not going to have a full-time position working with student athletes.
Right.
And that belief was based upon the notion that student athletes aren't going to be help-seeking, that they aren't going to be looking for services. And as we're seeing here at Princeton, that certainly has changed quite a bit. And I think it's so beneficial, the more and more elite athletes that have the willingness to come out and speak about their own mental health concerns and what that experience is like and normalize that experience. And hopefully that reduces stigma and gets more and more student athletes to have the willingness to do the same, because it can be really, there's a lot of uncertainty and unknowns about what it means to enter into therapy. And I think hearing some of those stories, this article that you're mentioning that just came across my desk, you hear Michael Phelps talk a little bit about what the therapeutic experience was like for him. And I think just being able to read some of those quotes could be really beneficial for athletes who might be on the fence about coming in to speak to a sports psychologist. It also really helps now, the structure has grown quite a bit.
Sure has.
I mean, credit to you, Jason, what you've done here and making it a priority through Princeton Tiger Performance to make sports psychology and student athletes' mental wellness a priority of this program, because now the services are more accessible to the student athletes. There's a lot of programming around to make the student athletes aware of where I'm located, where Dr. Julie's located, and about Dr. Pastor and Dr. Otto and CPS. So this just wasn't happening. This wasn't happening 5 years ago. I think to me it all started with the NCAA came out with their handbook that said the number one concern for student athletes was mental health. And the NCAA said it's time to start doing something about this. And now we're seeing at a lot of Division I schools that they have sports psychologists on board.
Yeah. Right, and we certainly saw that feedback here as well as we speak with our student athletes or we survey our student athletes about what they really felt would help them get to the next level. And then you look again to the Michael Phelps of the world, and you look at to Players Tribune, right? They have an entire section of what they do on mental health awareness. And again, the raising of awareness so that athletes across the board at any level really truly understand the benefit of speaking with a professional such as yourself and training the mind and normalizing it almost to an extent, right? We talk about mental toughness, and as a performance coach, look, we want to train the body. There's a lot of science behind that. We've been doing this for, you know, 40, 50 years, really, in my profession. And if you want to get an athlete to run faster, what do? Well, you squat heavy weight, right? You know, you want to throw a ball harder, you squat heavy weight. Really, that's the answer to anything from a performance perspective. If you want to become a better athlete, you squat heavy weight. Well, you know, for some of us, like myself, squatting heavy weights actually does help my mind. But that might not be the...
Gives me back injuries, but yeah.
Yeah. That might not be the answer to everybody. So maybe we touch on that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, one of the questions that I ask when I go to speak to a team is, what have you done for your mind today? Athletes are often very clear on what they've done for their bodies and what they do for their particular craft. When I say craft, I mean their sport. But what have you done for your mind today? And often when I ask that question, it's met with crickets. People aren't quite aware of what they have done to train their mind. And I have to say, I think a piece to that is just a lack of either awareness of the potential things that you could do to train your mind, or just a lack of belief in some of the techniques to train your mind. So I'm curious, Jason, when you hear train your mind, is there even anything that pops up that you were like, okay, well, I guess I could try this? You know, like if you told me to go to the gym, I would have some sense of, okay, I could try a few things. Like I'd have some sense of what to try for the body.
Right.
So I can have a six pack NECA next podcast. I got it out, yeah.
Do you know how you get a six pack, Mike?
Huh?
You squat heavy weight.
I set myself up for that one.
You sure
should have saw that coming. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hey, you gave me some free advice on the first podcast. I figured I'd return the favor.
That's right.
So
appreciate it.
Anytime. And yeah, you know, I guess there are other couple things for sure. I would think relaxation tips. I would think meditation. Mm-hmm. I've practiced some meditation in the past, so that's not something that's would be, you know, new, you know, for me. So it's something I've had some experience with. But also as an athlete, I think about, when I think about training my mind, I think visual imagery. Mm-hmm. I think about running through circumstances in my mind in preparation for competition, in preparation for practice. And it really, that kind of carries over into every aspect of life now. I go through visual imagery and getting ready for meetings, getting ready for this podcast. You know, what am I going to do if this variable were to occur? So those are the things that really kind of pop into my mind.
Yeah, sure. Those are some of the very traditional things, right? Like visualization, goal setting.
Right.
It's interesting, though. I was thinking about this recently. When I work with a student athlete, when we're done, when treatment is over, I asked for feedback. You know, what was this like for you? This is an opportunity for me to grow in how I practice. And one of the number one things I hear is, this is nothing like I thought it was going to be. This is nothing like I thought it was going to be.
Right.
And I don't think they're saying that in a bad way, that this experience was different. It's not just about, like, I went in to see Dr. Mike and he told me to think positive, or told me just to breathe, or anything like
right,
that.
Right.
You and I have talked about this individually, but there's just far more depth to what happens inside that room. So to bring it back, it's a little bit more complicated to talk about what are the direct skills that you can do to train your mind. It's not as easy to say, just go do this number of repetitions, right? Yeah, go take 5 deep breaths and, like, you won't be anxious anymore.
Right.
It doesn't work like that. It takes a lot more practice and a lot more repetitions to be able to train the mind and to be able to do things in the right way.
I think it was Fred Flintstone, right, that would count to 10. And his face would go from red to normal skin color back again. So.
I wasn't a huge Flintstones guy.
No. What was your favorite show growing up, Mike?
Then we went through this. Wonder Years, I guess,
would be my.
Yeah, I guess that'd be my number one. Okay. Although I have some reservations about just jumping on that as my number one.
Really?
I need to give it some more thought.
Okay.
Saved by the Bell.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. So yeah, I was a Flintstones fan for sure. But all right. Let's get into tips of the week. Mike, you want to start us off?
All right. I'm going to talk about a technique known as RAIN, the RAIN technique. Again, Jason, you know we love our acronyms.
Absolutely do. We love it.
We're going to work off of that. So we talked about dealing with disappointment earlier, and this is really an emotional acceptance technique. And what RAIN stands for is, the R stands for recognize. So when you're experiencing an emotion, to be able to say, this is anger, this is sadness, this is anxiety, simply to be able to label it and label it quickly in your mind. And then the next step is A, which stands for allow. And the best way to allow is not do anything to make that emotion go away. So not to reach for your phone, not to reach for some form of distraction that would take you away from that emotional experience. The I is investigate, which I actually think is the most important part of this acronym. The investigate is, take a curiosity to what this emotion feels like in your body. So when you're angry, what does it actually feel like physiologically, physically in your body? What is your jaw clenched? Are you making a fist? Are your toes clenched? Is there a tightness in your chest? What are you actually experiencing when you have that emotion? And then the N is non-judgment, to just be non-judgmental about it, rather than labeling it as good or bad or positive or negative. It's simply an experience that you're having in the moment. So that is the RAIN technique. Jason, your tip?
Sure, and in the spirit of the acronym, you know, I'm going to stick with our Be a Tiger. As you know, Mike, we have our Be a Tiger campaign here in Princeton Athletics. And the G in Be a Tiger actually stands for being growth-minded, or having a growth mindset. And so, you know, for my tip of the week, what I'd like to do is, I would just like to, you know, stick with the growth mindset and talk about going out and looking for those situations that are going to challenge you. Find something that's going to get you out of your comfort zone. There's always a part of your training or part of your daily life that you don't necessarily look forward to. And it's in those times and it's in those areas where you're truly going to be able to master your skills and become a better athlete, a better student, a better human being. So for my tip of the week would be get yourself out of your comfort zone. Find something that you know is going to challenge you a little bit and embrace it. Embrace that as your opportunity for the day to get better.
Great, great tip.
Well, and that's a wrap to episode number 2. It was a pleasure, Mike, and I look forward to doing it again.
All right, it was a pleasure.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening.